Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is make the leader in you come alive.
On cue, I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining us tonight. Friends, no matter if you are the commissioner or the owner or the player or the agent, no matter the role, you have a purpose and you're leading that purpose. Our goal here is simple, to acquire, inspire, and equip leaders to help them lead where they are. In other words, get us on cue with God's will, on cue with his calling on our lives, which is our purpose, and get others on cue with that purpose. What is cue? It is how Nehemiah, a model transformational leader, led a starved, desperate, broken, isolated people in building a wall in ancient Jerusalem, and essentially building a way of life. He cued them up. It's C-U-E. It's a C is for common ground. It's really what we can agree on. It's the why of we're coming together. U is the unified thought. What vision can we share? It's the what. And E, equally up, what is the game plan? What success look like? What's my role in it? What's the end game? It's the how. How do we do this together? So Q leadership, in a broad sense, integrates biblical principles of leadership using Nehemiah's example and helping you do two things. One, get people to trust you. And two, get people to follow you, which is discipleship. So as we always do, when I kick our show with a word of prayer, so Lord, you are powerful, merciful, living God. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, lead and bless this ministry and our audience and all those who are serving you. Lord, we know that this Q leadership is your brainchild, but our calling in your name, we honor you today by doing two things, giving you the glory and serving this generation through Q. Your Lord, your word in Romans 12:2 tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may reprove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So Lord, use this ministry to complete that purpose, to align and equip and transform new leaders for your glory. Help them hear the call, receive the call, and raise the new transformation leaders and gatekeepers in your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So thanks for joining us. You know, as always, our show here is to have a dialogue, have a conversation about leadership in God's Word, equip leaders with a roadmap and to tap into faith and building those two things, building trust and building discipleship that is purely, truly foundational. We try to highlight everyday leaders who are making a difference and who can testify to God's goodness. And our show is a lot of things, but it is not to criticize, but shine a light in some truth, but in love. It's not to tell you what to do, but provide a different lens in order to see things. And it's not to focus on mere symptoms of a problem, but get at the root of the problem. In a sense, treat the infection, not the runny nose. So today, as with any day, let's be open, and let's pray that we hear the Lord and not me, and make sure we have the right questions, no matter the differences. There may be some. Remember that this life is about love and surrender. And there may be differences of opinion, but let's do what a true transformational leader says. Let's agree without being disagreeable and be thought partners and have a fruitful dialogue today. So today we celebrate Mother's Day. Mothers, sisters, wives, aunts, cousins, grandmothers, and friends, and I want to say special Mother's Day to my better half, Ty, and my mother, and my sisters, and aunts, and all those who are listening tonight. When I think about mothers, though, I think about love, sacrifice, faithful, a gift, a best friend. Those are several other ways to think about it, but when I think about my own mother, I also think of words like smile, humble, strong, prayer warrior. And also think about Exodus 22, it said, honor your mother and your father, for your days may be long. I think I heard that more than anything in my early days as a child, and I heard it all of my life, you know. But Lord kind of exhorts our parents and values and honor our parents enough to include it in the Ten Commandments, you know, again, and also again in the New Testament, you know, when it says in Ephesians, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother, your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, so that you may be well with you, so that you may be living long on the earth. Honoring our parents is the first commandment with that promise, and the only one that promises long life is a reward, as you know, and those who honor our parents are all blessed. And in contrast, there's also the depraved mind, which those ungodliness in the last days are characterized by disobedience to parents, when we talk about in Romans and also Timothy. You know, Solomon the wise king urged children to respect their parents in Proverbs. And also even across our Savior's submitted to himself to both his earthly parents and also his heavenly father. So following Christ's example, we should treat our parents in the way we reverently approach our heavenly father, as it says in Hebrews. So obviously we are commanded to honor our parents, you know, but how? We honor them both in actions and also attitudes. And we saw some of that, switching gears here for a second, we saw some of these actions and attitudes this weekend in the NFL draft. Through that whole cloud of who has the best mock draft, where Johnny Football would go, and what your favorite team would do if they trade up or trade down, or take the best player available, fill a gap, or even what's happening in DFW area, what would Jerry Jones do? And that was always the tip of tongues to everybody. But one thing's for sure, these players honor their parents in some ways, actions and attitudes. They thank their parents, especially their mothers, and mothers were first ones they hug and were one or two that they thank, even sometimes before they thank the Lord. But with the shoulders, these young, and lots of times when they were so happy, they would cry. That was a shoulder they cried on when it comes to what's their name were called. It was a dream come true. It was a great chance to really play on Sunday. But for players, can you imagine during this time, during the draft, the anticipation, the excitement, the uncertainty before the call, and even the relief after the call? I know how it feels in a sense, because when I was in middle school, I kind of sat by the phone and television for my older brother Tom when we went through his senior year at Auburn. He came in as a preseason All-American, but of course he got hurt in mid to late season with the career-ending injuries. But, you know, I saw him work hard for almost 2 years to get back and somewhat defy the odds of coming back in the mid to late 80s. During his fight back, I would go to workouts with him, go to camps and with him at various NFL teams. And, you know, make a long story short, he knew he was going to get signed as a free agency, but I was convinced that he was wrong, that he would get his name called, because, you see, I know how hard he had worked. And after tearing five different ligaments in the knee, plus if he was projected to go to the end of the first round to the mid to second round 2 years ago, surely some team would be calling his name in the eighth round. So while he was calmly cleaning fish that we had caught that morning some years ago, I ran back and forth in house to the television because of the local television station. You know, they ran a ticket tape of the draft picks are on the bottom of the screen. So I would run back and forth and give it somewhat a play-by-play. And the draft was not as big as the show it is today. So plus I put the long telephone cord, if you guys remember that, long telephone cord on the telephone, and so I can bring it outside so we can hear the phone ring. Well, of course, much to my disappointment, you know, and not even listening to my brother, the draft ended and he didn't get a call. But that was tough for me, but it was okay with him. It's been 2 years later since he had played. But that next day, he got the call from his agent Freeland and about an offer to a free agency deal with Tampa Bay, and the contract would be in the mail for signatures the next day. So, you know, finally my waiting, as I would call it, by the phone and running back and forth between commercials and peppering Tom with a play-by-play had played off. Just like the great big brother he was, as he is now, he just let me indulge myself and even clean my part of fish, as you call it. As you bet, you know, I was waiting for that letter. But, you know, I want to share with that because, you know, what is it like somewhat to have your name called? Can you imagine that anticipation that's there, that excitement, that uncertainty before the call? You know, of course, my brother Tom didn't get the experience of getting his name called in the draft of service, but our guest today did. He does know, which leads to our question of the day on NFL draft day: what happens when the call comes? So our special guest today is Alfred Anderson, and he is a longtime Minnesota Vikings. He's also part of the NFL's Players Association here in Dallas. Went to school at Baylor, had a great career there, spent almost 8 years with the Minnesota Vikings, and played fullback there, over 27 touchdowns, and even threw a few for a couple touchdowns. So today he's coming on to talk about that experience with us, and as well as to let us know how it feels to have that call. So we'll use and talk about his testimony and his life, and really just show how these things kind of translate to some of the things that the Lord have us to do. So after the break, well, we'll bring on Alfred Anderson, which is also, I would like to thank him even before we get on, graciously coming on his late stage, because my original guest, Byron Williams, who's the president of NFLPA Association. He's on a flight right now because he was delayed in El Paso, and I really thank him for pushing hard to get me a substitute guest. If those of you who are tuning in and expecting Byron, we got another great guest, and you'll definitely be pleased to stay with us. So after the break, we'll bring Alfred Anderson on and start our talk around NFL draft when the call comes. So during the break, stay with us. Feel free to call and log in and share your thoughts. And our number here is 310-861-2331. To ask a question or make a comment, press 1 on your telephone, which is, raises your hand virtually. My daughter Kennedy can bring you in. So, friends, we'd love to hear from you. Again, the number is 310-861-2331. And this 2331, that was too many threes there. This is On Cue, and I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
By getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions the person for better leadership, but positions the person for better life.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, to help you leave where you are by getting us on cue with God's will and His purpose. We're taking calls. Feel free to call us at 310-861-2331. We'd love to hear from you also. Feel free to log into our Blog Talk Radio live chat room and have a conversation there. We'd love to hear from you. So today's questions NFL draft when the call comes. We have our special guest who's helping us with this, Alfred Anderson, who is a member of the NFL's Player Association located here in Dallas, which represents almost 500 pro players. He's an outstanding standout running back at Baylor years ago and a third round draft pick by the Minnesota Vikings in 1984. And he played 8 seasons as fullback for the Vikings, scored almost 27 touchdowns, and even throwing 2 touchdown passes in 1984. So, Alfred, thanks for joining us. Are you on?
Yes, Eric. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for coming in this short notice. And I know there's a reason for this and all of this, but I really appreciate you. You saved us tonight.
Hey, no problem, my brother. No problem.
Absolutely. Hey, well, thanks. So we'll dive right in. So Alfred, you know, I put your profile and so forth up on Facebook and also on my website for those if you want to look at his. Also, there's a link in the invitation to look at his history. But we want to jump right in. We'll pull some of that out as well. So as I always do, I start the show with two questions of my guests, and the first one is really, what is that one word that describes you?
For me, I say integrity.
Integrity.
Yes.
And why would you pick integrity? Excuse me. Thank you.
Just the ideal is, you know, being able to be trustworthy and being able to do the right things when no one is looking is always
mm-hmm.
important. And
right.
As long as you can build those oppositions to your life, then you don't have to worry about anything, you know, because you know you're going to always do the right thing. And also, you know, I pattern myself after Jesus Christ. I know I'm not perfect, but I try to be as close as perfect to Christ as possible. And so
that's what helped me to
understand the word integrity and what it means to me. So that would explain me as far as integrity.
Absolutely. You know, I love the quote, hey, doing the right thing when nobody's looking. That is so vital, right?
So yes, sir.
I know that we're going to get into some of the things you're doing, and it's maybe a trivial question for you, but always the second one is money was no issue. You know, what would you do every day? You may be doing it already, but I just want to kind of pose that question to you so that our friends can understand how you care about your everyday life.
I guess working with kids, mentoring kids, and that's pretty much what I do. I mentor kids through Big Brothers, Big Sisters. I also mentor kids through a Tarrant County Advocate Program where we mentor juvenile kids, try to get them to refocus and change their life around from, you know, the mistake they made earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And also working with kids. You know, I also substitute teach. So kids have always been a big part of my life and helping in any way I can. So without money, that's what I'm doing now will be I think that's what God wants me to do, and that's how I give back is by working with our youth.
Exactly. Preparing the next generation at the end of the day is how we all need someone to lead our lives. You know, I'm going to pick up some of those things around how you work with kids from a juvenile perspective, big brothers and big sisters. But I want to kind of give the audience a little bit about you. Can you just tell us about yourself, you know, about your family, kids, your business, things you do each and every day to kind of give everyone an understanding and how you spend your time post your post-career?
Okay. I guess, first of all, married my wife for 7 years. I have three sons from my previous marriage. My oldest son is 27,
mm-hmm.
and my middle son, which is Alfred Anderson Jr., and Adrian Craig is 25, and then my new addition to the family is Alex. He's 2.
Okay.
So you know, they keep me busy and just being able to watch my oldest son grow, and then, you know, good Lord blessed me with another young one, which I thought I was done, but You know, I look at it as a blessing because he is a blessing for my wife and I, and to be able to see him grow and to raise him up like I, you know, raised my other two sons. So it's very important. And I grew up in Waco, you know, okay. Born and raised. Like many other athletes, you grow up not having much, you know, being raised by a single parent, which is my mom, and father wasn't around. And I knew the only way for me to make it or go to college or was to play sports, and that's, God gave me that gift to be able to do that. Once I left football, I did open up a general nutrition center back in 1993 till December of 2000, and I sold it. So I knew after football, that would have been the next closest thing for me, taking supplements, you know, knowing a little things about supplements helped me to go into that field, that business. And for the most part, also coach, you know, in the youth league, coach my sons football, baseball, and just been involved, you know, in the community and just giving back any way I can. So that's pretty much what I have been doing after football and what I'm doing now.
Okay. So you know, you talk about your history, you know, of growing up, not having much, single parent, just finding a way out. You know, you really probably know about what it means about making do, right?
Absolutely.
And so that seems to resonate when you're able to connect with people and coaching and getting involved in the community, somewhat giving back. It comes easy to you, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. So I've been there, and I know what some of these kids are going through now. Not having a father, you know, in the home and being raised by the mom, and they need someone else, someone they can look up to, someone that's positive, someone that's always going to do the right thing, and that way they can always look up to them and not be disappointed in any way.
Sure. So that kind of leads to, you know, going back to your point, you work with a lot of kids in the juvenile system. Can you talk about that and just kind of share with a friend some of your work there and how you minister to those kids?
Oh, sure. A lot of times the kids that come into our program are basically appointed by the judge or their PO. And so either they can stay locked up for another, you know, 6 weeks to 18 weeks or whatever, or they can come through our program, which we help get them to refocus. We also have classes that they can attend. Cause a lot of our kids mainly, you know, in trouble for drugs, stealing, you know, guns, weapon, assaulting someone. And so we have classes that they have to attend, and like anger management classes, we take them to substance abuse classes, community of hope classes, leadership, success leadership skill classes. So those classes like that, and most of the kids is required 7.5 hours a week or 15 hours a week. So it just depends on what they recommend for each kid, and they're different.
Sure.
Some kids are not able to be out of your sight because of what they have done, maybe molest someone, things like that. So you got to always keep an eye on those kids. So those are some of the things we do, and just try to get them to change their thinking. I know for my kids, you know, this new generation is something else. I mean, and I just have three basic rules. I say, if you can obey my three basic rules, then we're going to get along just fine. And number one is, you know, no cussing, you know, no swearing, no cussing. And another one is not using the N-word, you know.
Okay.
I strongly hate that word, and listen to our youth today, they say it like it's just your everyday conversation, every
right.
word that come out your mouth. And then also, you know, don't be throwing up game signs, you know, because I don't want to be out, you know, my life in jeopardy too, because here I got gang members too, you know, on sports, and we might be in another neighborhood, and, you know, so those are my basic three rules. I say no cussing, no using the N-word, and no gang sign. If you can abide by those rules, then we're going to be just fine. And like with those kids, as long as you give them some guidelines, they abide by them, and that's what I have learned. And they can ride with me for, you know, 3 hours and 45 minutes, you know, for each day, for the 2 days that I have them, and not have to, you know, cussing, swearing, using the N-word, and just have a nice conversation. Then I say, you know, once you get with your homeboys and your friends, then, you know, you can do that, but you got to be able to turn
sure.
it, you know, to be professional, because there's one day you're going to be looking for a job, you know, and you can't go in there talking and sagging and all that, you know. And so that makes a big difference. And like I tell my kids from the other advocates, you know, my kids are totally different because they don't say those things, but some of the other advocates, you know, they entertain it and they let them talk the way they talk because they talk, you know, to
that
them
way
like
as well.
That. Right.
You know, I'm trying to absorbing a lot of what you share. You know, you're starting with once they get in trouble and they go to the judge, they enter your program, and then their interaction with you. You share some guidelines? Is it about giving choices? Help them understand there are some choices to be made regardless of your circumstances. Because the first choice the judge gives them. Jail or your program, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then it goes to your programs, you know, anger or substance or hope or not. And then ultimately your three basic rules. How can you talk about helping them understand there are some choices? You really got control of those choices that you make?
Yeah, so like I tell them all the time, I say this, it's not that you're bad, it's just a choice that you made. And I'm sure you and good friends, say, hey, let's go do this. And you chose to go and hang out with him to get in trouble. You know, you have the choice to not to do that. You know, so always, if you know that your friend is getting ready to do something that you know is illegal, that is wrong, then say, hey, I can't do that. You know, and a lot of them wants to play sports. A lot of them wants to get into the music. I said, you got to think about your life, your career, what you want to do, what you want to become. And if you, you know, in the street like that, you know, a lot of time you're going to get in trouble and do some things, you know, and get caught. And when you get caught, it's too late.
Yeah, it is too late.
So, yeah, choices is always, and that's always a part of it, you know, no matter what, it's the choice you make, you know.
Right. You know, one last question before we go to the break, though. Your interaction with kids, what would surprise people who don't necessarily know and have that type of reaction with the kids that you serve? What would surprise, what would you want our friends to know about those kids?
Well, first of all, they are good kids. And like I said, they just got caught up with the wrong group, made the wrong choice. You can make a good choice or a bad choice. And a lot of them tend to make bad choices, but they're good kids. And these are some pretty intelligent kids that we deal with. But because they get caught up with the wrong people, then you do the wrong thing. But as long as you with someone positive, you can always do positive things and do the right thing. And like I told them, a lot of time when you got a lot of time on your hand, you have that tendency to get in trouble. And growing up, I was always busy, you know, playing sports or doing something. I didn't have time to hang out in the street. And that's the same way I brought my kids up. I always had them doing something. They were busy, you know. They didn't have time to be hanging in the street, hanging with friends. They was always in some organized organization or sports or something, you know.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, well, thanks. Well, we're gonna take a break. And we'll come back. We have Alfred Anderson, who's a former NFL player, longtime great with the Minnesota Vikings, and we're talking about the NFL draft. when the call comes. So after the break, we'll continue our dialogue with him. Our number here is 310-861-2331. So feel free to give us a call or make a comment, ask a question on Afford if you have any. Again, the number is 310-861-2331. If you don't want to call in, feel free to log into our live chat room and converse with Kennedy, and she can take your questions and bring those on as well. So this is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, to help you lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and His purpose. We're taking calls. Feel free to call us at 310-861-2331. And to ask a question, feel free to press 1 on your telephone. And it virtually raises your hand, and we'll bring you in and have a conversation. Feel free to go to our live chat room as Blog Talk Radio as well. We would love to hear from you. Again, the number is 310-861-2331. So today's question is NFL draft, when the call comes. We have our special guest who's helping us with this, Afford Anderson, who's also a member of the NFL's Players Association here in Dallas, and he's starring running back at Baylor some years ago, third-round draft pick by Minnesota in 1984, played 8 great seasons as fullback with the Vikings and scored 27 touchdowns and even throwing a couple in 1984. So Afford, you must have been quite the athlete there if you threw a couple.
Yeah, that was one of my specialties, but you know they could have used me a little bit more because coming out of high school, I was the number one quarterback in the state of Texas coming out in 1979 and 80. So coming out in 80, so I was the number one quarterback in the state of Texas that year.
Wow. So go ahead.
I'll just say just very versatile all through college. High school, I never played one position more than 2 years, so I was always moved around. You know, quarterback, running back, strong safety. I pretty much played every position myself a sinner and tidy in.
Sinner and tidy in.
Yeah.
Wow, I get it. So it's about making yourself useful in so many different ways, right?
That's right, because you never know. So any kid that's versatile, I say it's best to be versatile. So just in case you can't play in that position, there's another position you can play.
You're right. You just basically find a spot for yourself, you know. Yeah. We're going to get back into some of your service things you do as you impact society and involve kids. But I wanted to take you down memory lane, if you will, and think about when you were drafted by Minnesota Vikings in 1984, you know, and, you know, tell us about that experience and really, you know, why is the draft so important?
Well, the draft is so important because they're looking for young college kids coming out of college who's young, because a lot of veterans are getting up in age, and you always need that youth. And going back to 1984, the year I came out, that year was basically defense. For some reason, it was the first round was basically defense. So, you know, as I was waiting, I knew I wasn't going the first round because they hyped it up that this is the year of nothing but defense. And I believe only one running back was drafted in the first round. That was Greg Bell in 1984. So that was the only running back drafted. And I, you know, I knew I was in the top 100 coming out, so I felt pretty good that I would be drafted, you know, since I was in at least the top 100 players that they had listed. I knew I wasn't going the first round. Second round, yes, you know, I thought sure about the second round. That I remember waking up that next day all excited, and like I said, the draft can be exciting.
Right.
it can be
exciting
frustrating.
For you as well as a little brother if you had one, right, like I was running.
That's right. So it can be exciting, frustrating, and it can be very difficult, you know. And so as I'm watching, which I pretty much threw the first round out because I knew I wasn't going to get drafted, and as I'm waiting patiently, second round. And I remember during the second round, I did get a phone call. Kansas City had called me and said, "Hey, Alfred, if you're still around, our next pick, we're going to draft you." And I said, "Okay, Kansas City's going to draft me, you know, because they were coming up." And next thing you know, I didn't hear my name, but I saw on the screen, Kansas City drafted a kid named Herman Hurd. I said, "Wow." So at that point, I'm disappointed now. You know, like I was excited, now I'm disappointed. And then what goes through your mind is, well, you know, I don't care whoever drafts me, I just want to get drafted, you know.
Right.
So that's the mindset at that point. And then right after they called, and I remember, you know, people were calling, and it's like, "Don't call, I haven't gotten drafted yet, because I got to keep my line open," you know.
Sure.
Yeah,
making a busy
time.
We didn't have the call waiting then, right?
That's right. So I didn't want nobody calling. People would study calling. "Have you got drafted yet? You know, where are you going?" I said, "No, not yet. Don't call. I'll call you." And so right after Herman Hurd got picked, then the phone rang again, and my sister says, "Minnesota." And I said, "What?" He said, "Minnesota." And so I perked back up, you know, and got on the phone and talked to the head coach at that time with Les Steckel, because Bud Grant had just retired after that 83 football season. So Les Steckel was the new head football coach, and he just said, "Hey, Alfred, just want to let you know that you're now a Minnesota Viking. I look forward meeting you and getting you down here to our next mini camp, which would be in another week or so." And so once you get that form call, it's just like the burden, everything is lifted off your shoulder. Now you can go relax. And what I did, I just jumped in my car and just rode around town, you know, just excited. Can't believe, you know, my dream have come true, that I'm in the NFL, you know, get ready to go to Minnesota and going to be playing in the NFL, you know. And so that's how I those young kids when they got drafted at a name call, because it, you know, you waiting and you predicting, you never know who's going to draft you. You
right.
know, somebody say, "Hey, I'm a draft you," but all of a sudden someone else is around and they say, "I'm gonna get this young man." So you just never know who's gonna pick you unless they got the number one pick and they say, "Hey, you're our man. We're gonna draft you." That's the only way you know.
Right. Well, so describe, was it more of a relief or was excitement, quiet confidence? Because you think about, you share with your history about growing up in Waco and not having much, a single parent, really just trying to find a way out. You know, how what was that feeling like?
Oh, it was a relief, and it was exciting, you know. I never thought I'd be in Minnesota growing up. My favorite team was Miami, you know, but at that point, you don't care who your favorite team is. All you want
right,
is someone
right.
to get that phone call, so that way, you know, that everything can be lifted off your shoulders, and you don't have to worry no more. It's like I said, once you get that call, boom, it's over with. You don't have to sit down and watch no more. you know, hey, I'm with the team. That's all I wanted. I just want that opportunity. And that's what a lot of kids, they just want that opportunity, you know, to go and perform and shine.
Sure, sure, absolutely. So, you know, so after Unity, taking your stroll and mini camps coming up, being drafted, now going to camp, you know, what were the expectations on you?
Well, when I got to Minnesota, like I said, I was excited. And a lot of times I was excited. But the good thing, Coach Steckel, you know, after mini camp, after he saw me and I spent 3 days in mini camp, before I left, he said, "Hey, Alfred," he said, "you know what, when you come back," he said, you're gonna be starting or you're going to play a lot." And that's all I needed to hear, because that right there showed me that he had confidence and believed in me, you
right.
know. And plus, the good thing about it, he's a strong Christian man. And
mm-hmm.
then plus, coming from, you know, a Christian school like Baylor, that even, you know,
right.
that even helped, because he was saying a lot of people didn't want him to draft me, but he did, you know, because he saw the kind of person I was and being a strong Christian. And a tough football player.
Wow!
And
wow!
So I had the opportunity to come, and like I said, about the second game of the season, I ended up starting, and was a starter that second from the second game to the end of the season, and also ended up being Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Wow! Awesome! Mm-hmm. Awesome! That is awesome. So you, going back to your conversation with Coach Decco, you know, I'm sure you share this with the kids you involved in yesterday. How important is? I think it goes back to your word that describes you. You know, integrity, and you add character to it, and wrap that around your athletic ability. That was one great package. What you think? Now, I know you don't want to pat yourself on the back, but essentially that's what Coach Decco saw.
Yes, I agree with that. And like I said, I've been around a lot of great coaches, Coach Grant Taft. Strong Christian, he recruited me out of Waco, you know, so he was the reason why I pretty much stayed home
mm-hmm.
to go to Baylor. And that's what my life been basically around. You know, I want to be around Christian brothers, Christian coaches, things like that, because that what motivated me. And going to that next level in Minnesota, it was totally different, because it wasn't that kind of atmosphere.
Sure, sure.
You know,
I got it. You know, did they have a dome? Then I'm going to take a detour for a second, because I spent some time in Minneapolis
okay.
with a client, and that's some cold that, you know, you can't stay in too much, right?
absolutely. No, I'm blessed, because when I got drafted, they said, "Man, it's cold up there." I said, "You know what? They playing a dome." So they had built a dome 2 years before I got there, so that was perfect.
Right, that is some brutal cold, I tell you. But love the city; it's beautiful, especially in the summer.
Absolutely.
So walk us through your career, those 8 years there. You know, some highlights, low points. You know, and when it was all over. Kind of talk about that.
Okay, like I said, I got drafted. I was third round, 67 player picked in the 1984 draft. Got to mini camp, And another blessing thing also, my best friend and my teammate from Baylor, he got drafted in the fifth round. So Alan Rice, who's now the ordained minister at his own church in Houston. And so he and I, you know, that knowing that he was there and he's going to be there with me, I felt a whole lot better because at least I'm going in there knowing someone, you know, someone that we can help each other, pick each other up when, you know, we're down or just having a bad practice, you know. And so we got into training camp and the thing you want to do, a lot of times, you know, we watch these guys, you know, play for years, and all of a sudden here we are up there with them. And I recall the first preseason game, we were playing Miami, which is my favorite team, and I'm getting in my stand saying, man, there goes Benny Malone, and there goes all this going through my head. And then realized a light bulb went off and said, hey. And all of a sudden I thought to myself, I said, I'm just as good as these guys, otherwise I wouldn't be here.
Sure.
And from that moment, you know, I just started playing, wiped all that away, and started playing like, you know, like I'm one of them. I'm just as good as them. Otherwise, I wouldn't be out here. And so, like I said, my rookie year, I end up leading the team in rushing. I think I had over 773 yards my first year, and end up getting offensive rookie of the year. My second year, my sophomore year, I kind of got injured, but Bud Grant came back because they let Les Steckel go after that first year, and Bud Grant came back, and it was a great experience to play for the legendary Bud Grant. Bud was a very unique person, a coach. He didn't say much, especially to rookies or young players. You know, he mostly talked to the older guys, and I remember one day I was, you know, on a knee, and all of a sudden Bud came over there and said something to me, and we kind of started laughing. I said, well, I guess he liked me then. and so Bud came back, and I think that year we went 8-8. My rookie year we went 3-13, so it was a tough going my rookie year. My third year, Bud retired. And Jerry Burns was my head coach for the next 6 years. And Jerry Burnsy, we call him Burnsy, he was great. And the good thing about Burnsy, he really loved me as a person, as a player. He could ask me to play whatever. And the good thing, I would play it. I wouldn't say, Coach, why you want me to play this? Whatever he asked, I did it. And that's why he kept me around as long as he did, you know. And I think and believe that if he would have been there another year or two, I probably got two more years before Denny Green came in. But when Denny came and was the head coach in 1992, as I'm getting ready for mini camp, I recall that I probably got maybe 3 reps in 3 days.
Yeah.
And that didn't look good. That didn't look good because I'm saying, how am I competing for a job if I only get 3 reps?
Mm-hmm.
And plus, at that time, I wasn't under contract because my contract had expired as well. And so I had moved back to Texas because I was pretty much at the end of my career, and told my wife probably a couple more years, but at least we can go ahead and start our family and move back and get the kids situated and, you know, schools in Texas, and then I can just, after the season, just fly back to Texas, and when I'm done, I'm done, you know. And so as we was in, moved everything to Texas pretty much and building a house and everything, and so I went back. They signed me because a couple guys went down, and then I'm playing, you know, doing well.
Right.
And then I realized that because they were supposed to be working on a trade, my agent and the general manager, and then all of a sudden the general manager wasn't doing anything and pushing everything on my agent to make that happen. And so at this time, I remember the third game of preseason, and I'm in there with the offense, driving down to get ready to score, then he runs his freshman in there and pulled me out. And so we end up scoring. I go back out there again on the next series, you know, because I'm trying to get my work in. After we drove all the way down there with me in there, then he did the same thing. And from that moment, you know, being around for 8 seasons, you kind of know when that's it. Yeah, and so I knew at that point that it's over, so I knew I was going to get cut the next day, which I did. And it's kind of like it's another burden has been lifted, you know, that it was time for me to go, because I already knew back in February and May that, you know, I wasn't competing for a job anyway. So the opportunity there wasn't good. You know, so I asked him to release me, to let me go so I can try out for another team before I even went to training camp, but they never would do that. Right. And so I got released. Tried out, worked out for a couple of teams, Detroit Lions and Pittsburgh, and it was basically if something come up, we need you, we'll give you a call. And then I made it up in my mind that if I didn't get picked up by the end of the December, end of the football season, end of the year, then I was done. I said, I'm going to retire. And that's pretty much what happened. I retired in August, December of 1992.
December of 1992. You know, yes. Tell us, I want to go back for a second. I want to tell our friends here, how important is it to get reps?
It's very important because that's how, you know, when the coaches evaluate you and watch you on film, you've been evaluated. Every time you're on that field, you've been evaluated. And you know, that's what, like my rookie year, because you got veterans who know the system, so they don't need that many reps. They don't, you know, and I had a couple guys, Teddy Brown, he didn't like to practice. And he'd be standing off to the side and being right. A rookie. Coach, I need to run him to the fullback. And, you know, eventually, you know, I'm going to jump in there.
right.
You know, since I'm the youngest in the rookie, so I'm getting a lot of reps as a rookie. And I think that's,
he didn't like
I think
to practice, that's
what right. He'd just be looking, you know, like, I ain't going in there to see if I'm going to go in there. And, of course, I'm going to go in there because they asked him for a running back, you know. And I think that helped me a great deal as a rookie, because when coaches evaluating film, they see who's in there, you know.
you know, what kind of leads to the point of, you know, getting your reps and not getting reps, and then you understanding that you're potentially going to get cut. And, you know, and you shared that, you know, you resolved to kind of know where you were. You know, how difficult is it just in general for your other brethren or people who played the game to first understand when it's over, and secondly, be able to just give it up and walk away and not continue to try? That's got to be a tough decision for most. But if it wasn't tough for you, why was it easy for you?
I guess a lot of people don't want to give it up and always want to believe that they can continue to play. But my mind was set even before I got in the NFL. My goal was to play 10 years. I wanted to play 10. And after 10, my mind was already set that, hey, that's it. If I made 10, you know, I'm leaving. I'm walking away, because that's all I wanted to play, about 10 years. But I ended up playing 8. And so I knew I was pretty close. So God blessed me to play 8 years. And 8 was definitely a, you know, that's a blessing, because sometimes, you know, the career don't last that long. Some players only play 1 year, 2 years, and never qualify for the retirement pension, because you have to play almost 4 years to play that. And I was blessed to get 8 years in, you know. So there comes a time where you have to know when your time is up and to walk away and not look back. And it was easy for me, because the longer I set out, the easier it became.
Understood. So, you know, through that whole process, you know, starting at your youth, you know, of not having much, single mother, trying to find a way out, going to Baylor, going to the league, dealing with the ups and downs for you, how important was your relationship with the Lord through all of this?
Oh, I tell you, it was always from when I was 12 years old, you know, that's when I accepted Christ at 12 years old. At 12, I had almost lost my right eye. And the doctor said that I had torn some eye tissue, and then that was a 50-50 chance that my eye would reopen again. And within 4 months, you know, at that point we left the doctor's office, I realized that there was nothing that I could do, the doctor could do, my mother could do. And I remember calling my mother and asking, let's pray, you know, that God would heal my eye. And so within 3 or 4 months, my eyes started gradually starting to open. And so when God healed my eye, I was truly, truly, you know, I was blind, but now I can see, and I saw what God did, and that's when my faith in Christ began, my journey. And I knew, what, you know, and the things that I was doing on the football field, I knew it wasn't me. You know, there was God within me, you know, doing some things that I could not blink, and I'm thinking I should be tackled, and I'm still running, you know. And so that right there carried me on through high school, through college, and into the pros.
So he essentially not only opened your eyes physically, but also spiritually.
Yes. Yes,
wow.
He did. And at the age of 12, that's when I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Wow. So in a sense, in the age of 12, going through, would you say that, you know, he basically was drafting you? He called your own name, right?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely, and that's why every guy that gets drafted or every person that become a doctor or a lawyer, you know, is because of God. And like I said, when you truly believe deep down in your heart that that's what you want to do, that's what you want to become, that's what you want to accomplish, if you believe it with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, God will grant you that and bless you with that.
Yep, amen. So when you felt this, you know, did you really know what he wanted you to do, or you were just answering the call at the end of the day?
You know, later in life, later, probably about, I say maybe my fifth, probably about my fifth season, I realized what God really wanted me to do, and he put me on the he put me on the stage, and you know, I came to a realization. I remember I said when I score a touchdown, I was going to do a dance, you know, because I hadn't scored in a while, and I said I'm going to do a dance. And I remember, and I was talking to my wife, and she said, you know what? She said, instead of doing a dance, why don't you just kneel? And I said, you know what? You're exactly right. Because, you know, they're going to forget about the dance, but if you kneel down, that's something they'll always remember. And I started doing that. Every time I scored, I would kneel down. And then people were sending me letters and saying, man, that was awesome. Now you give God the glory, you know. And so that's what I did, and that's what I stood for. And I felt that that was my calling, to let millions of people see professional athletes that are spiking the ball, to kneel down and give God the glory.
Give him
and
the glory.
So that's what I did to the end of my career.
Kneel down and give him the glory. You know, one quick question before we're going to take a break, but would you say that from the time where you open your eyes into your fifth year, he was giving you some reps and you were on the clock?
You can say that. I mean,
I said
before, he was still blessing me. mm-hmm. you know, like keep me healthy, continue to help me produce and make the team year after year, you know. And then when I started doing that, then the blessing really started coming, you know.
Right. And thanks for that. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we're having a conversation today with Alfred Anderson, former Minnesota Viking great. And our question of the day is NFL draft when the call comes. And so feel free to give us a call at 310-861-2331. Ask a question. Feel free to press 1 on your telephone, and we would love to hear from your friends. Again, any questions for Alfred around his story and as well as the things that he's doing from his ministry perspective. So feel free to call us at 310-861-2331. And this is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
We're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Our mission here is simple, to help you lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and His purpose. We're taking calls. Feel free to call us at 310-861-2331. To ask a question, feel free to press 1 on your telephone. We can bring you into our conversations or join us in our live chat room at Blog Talk Radio. Friends, we'd love to hear from you. Again, the number is 310-861-2331. Today's question of the day: NFL draft, when the call comes. And we're having our special guest, Alfred Anderson, who's a former Minnesota great, who was drafted in 1984 and played 8 seasons as fullback for the Vikings and scored 27 touchdowns, even throwing 2 passes. And a very, very versatile athlete, as he shared. And all those touchdowns, most of the touchdowns, we were just talking before the break, Alfred, where you always give the Lord the glory and kneel down when you made those touchdowns, really just showing the Lord, I'm gonna do good in this rep, Lord. You're giving me this rep, this opportunity to show you, and therefore I'm gonna give you the glory once we do this, right?
Yes, sir. That's the bottom line. and just reverting back my last season with the Vikings. Like I said, there's a testimony. I don't know if I have time to share, but
sure,
it would be good to share. Going into my last season with the Vikings, the offensive coordinator changed the offense around, like short yardage, which took me out of the opportunity of scoring touchdowns, and he moved Randall McDaniel, who was all pro, Hall of Famer, into the backfield to be the leading blocker. And going through the season, halfway through the season, I realized I had not scored a touchdown. I have not had the opportunity to give God the glory. And I remember going into the hotel that Saturday night, and I just started praying, saying, God, you know, I have not glorified your name all year, Father God, but today, tomorrow, Father God, somehow, some way, I'm going to score a touchdown. Father, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but somehow I'm going to do it. If I have to go on the kickoff team and tackle a person, make them fumble, pick the ball up, and run it in, you know, I'm going to score. Tomorrow is the day that I'm going to glorify your name. And I just remember just praying that night, got up that morning just praying and telling God that this is the day that I'm going to score. This is the day. Before I got on the football, I'm started praying to God, that God, this is the day that I'm going to glorify your name. We got out there playing the St. Louis Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals at that time. And I remember I went out there, we got the ball. We first play, we threw a 20, Wade Wilson hit Hassan Jones for a 20-yard pass. The next play, Wade Wilson hit Anthony Carter for a 50-yard pass. So we're inside about the 6-yard line. So I'm going to give Anthony Carter high five and congratulate him. Next thing you know, I turn off, start running to the sideline. All of a sudden, the coaches start waving me back in. Go back in. I go back in, step in the huddle, Wade Wilson calling my play, 20 trap, strong right, 20 trap. And I'm saying to myself as I got down, Lord, this is my play. This is the play that I'm going to score. The ball snapped, the hole opened. I bust through there across the goal line, pointing to heaven, kneel down, and said, thanking God. And my teammates excited because we just scored, but I was excited that God just answered my prayer. So I'm on the sideline. That's all going through my mind. God answered my prayer. About 2 weeks later, I'm sitting in my locker. I get this packet. It was a picture of me kneeling down. And then it brought the whole, from the beginning to now, back in place. Here it is. I prayed to God this Saturday night about scoring a touchdown, giving him the glory. And all of a sudden, God had already planned it because he had this lady come to the game to be in that end zone to take that picture and two weeks later send it to me. And that was the greatest picture of all that I have hanging on my wall, is me kneeling down, giving God the glory, which he caught that moment. And that was the only touchdown I scored that year.
Wow. Now that's a testimony, I tell you. You know, when after he's called your name so early, and then what he does with you when you decide to follow. So this is a different thing. It's where he calls us all, but you got to decide to follow. How important you need when he asks you, he calls your name, and you decide to follow. Again, go back to the point of we work with the juveniles. It's a decision. Talk about that decision.
Just helping kids. And you know, we can't talk to kids about religion and things like that. But what I do, all my kids, they go to my church and we do community service. And, we pack the pantry. We put out buckets for the tithes and envelopes and things like that. And so many kids never been in church. And so hopefully it will give them an opportunity to open up to want to know where I can. Then I can tell them about Jesus Christ, you know. So that's what I like about it. And plus, being positive, you know, they see that I don't cuss, I don't swear. You know, I'm a positive person. I'm probably the only positive person they see during the week, you know. And that right there make an impact. A lot of times you think they're not listening and paying attention, but they are.
Right.
And long as I get one person that can change and turn his life around, and I have had some kids, you know, turn their life around. And that's the greatest feeling of all, to know that I made a difference or impact in that young man's life, where he know that if he ever need me or need some, you know, some encouragement or whatever, he can always pick up the phone and call me.
You know, that goes back to your point. You said they're always watching. You know, one thing I thought about was when you said, you talked about the coach, Bud Grant. He didn't say much to you, but he was watching you, right?
And goes right
to what you started with, you know, doing the right thing when nobody's watching, even when you don't think anybody's watching. You know, that is so important. You know, how along that journey of making those decisions, I know this is a trivial question, but I think our friends need to hear it. You know, what sustains you on that journey of making an impact, integrity, helping people make the right decisions, building your testimony? What sustains you?
Well, it goes back when Christ was on this earth. You know, how he preached, how he showed his disciples. And they couldn't understand. And he was teaching them and showing them every day, you know, what's getting ready to happen, what's going to happen. But they were too busy focusing on other things instead of really listening, paying attention to what he was really trying to get them to know and see. Mm-hmm. And my purpose in sustaining this is what I want these kids to know, that, you know, you – just because you messed up, you can change your life around, you know. And as long as you continue to do right and do good, you know, this will come off your record. But as long as you continue to do that, then, you know, you're going to continue to stay in trouble. But as long as you make that choice that you want to do right, you know, that you want to make something out of your life, you know, because right now you're young. You don't want to listen, but hopefully, and that's why, you know, they go to these classes, and a lot of times it's pretty much the same thing. They tell them over and over and over and over, and they, man, I heard this before. You know, God, we heard this. But hopefully one day you're going to get it.
Right.
You know, it might not be now, but maybe the seven or the eight time you hear it, then it's going to click and say, now I get it. You know.
Now you get it.
So my thing is just giving back. And like I said, God, you reap what you sow. And if you can sow a seed in a kid's life and turn that kid's life around, you know, you're going to get blessed. God's going to bless you because he see what you're doing, you know, in the life of these kids.
Yep. So you know, as we talk about, I think, in your ministry as well as ours here, it's about giving the Lord the glory, impacting this generation. And it's obviously, especially you seem to be at the trenches of kids who made mistakes and make many mistakes and repeat mistakes, really at the core of change, I would think. We talk about change in the country all the time, but you're right in the thick of it. What, you know, how are you with the draft in mind, you know, how important is it to really help these kids understand they're part of a broader team, that what you're really essentially trying to do is draft them, give them opportunity, give them some reps in order to do some great things in life? How important is that?
It's very important, Eric. Like I said, it goes back. And I tell you, for me or anyone else, as long as they was brought up with that strong Christian background, the foundation of what Christ stood on, those are the ones that are successful and that does well.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are not built on that strong foundation, those are the ones that fall. Those are the ones that gets in trouble and make the bad choices, you know, because there's a lot of bad things that happen, but you have to understand that I'm not going to get caught up, you know, and that's what I had to realize. When I got there, my intention was to make that football team. I didn't want to do nothing else but study and prepare myself. And there were guys telling me all the time, hey, let's go down to the Albatross. I'll buy you a beer. You know, I said, no, I got to study, man, because I don't know these plays. I'm trying to get better. I don't want to go back to Waco. You know, my goal is to make this team. And that's and that's the attitude you have to have, and that's what you have to believe in, that I'm not letting nothing stop me. God got me here. I'm not going to let nothing stop me from getting where I want to go, since God gave me the opportunity to be here. And that's the way. You know, my thing, I wasn't, you know, party. I didn't like to go out pretty much to myself. I didn't like crowds, you know. I was just a very humble, quiet person, you know, and I always want to do right, you know, and 'cause I don't want my reputation to be tarnished in any way by doing something stupid or dumb.
You sure.
Like I tell kids, I say, if you see me get pulled over by a cop, it's because I was speeding. It won't be nothing else. That's the only way I'm getting pulled over, because it won't be nothing to deal with drugs, alcohol, anything like that, because I don't do those things.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You know, let's talk for a second about, you know, you mentioned a great point about the kids with the foundation. It's easier to move them in the right direction, but those kids without a foundation, you can get caught up in the wilderness, so to speak. And,
yes.
You know, how do we help them kind of redefine themselves, find their purpose, and get connected when you're hamstrung and you can't talk about the word to them? How do you do that?
Well, like I said, take the one that's playing football. I mean, you have options. I mean, we have Bible study. You have a chapel. So those, and you know the guys, and it's only a handful,
sure,
that go to chapel, you know, that Sunday morning or that Saturday night. It's the same handful. It's the same handful that go to the Thursday night Bible study.
Yeah, I was
those
one of
are
those.
The one.
Yep, understood.
Those are the one. But like I said, those that don't have that foundation, they really go to the club, because that's where their mind and that's where their joy and happiness is, you know, going to the club, hanging out with the women, you know. So, and then, like I said, it just goes from the time that you understand right from wrong to the time that you're in college, and if you got Christ in your life. And like I said, it starts from when you're young, doing right, you know, believing in Christ. That's the only way I know how you're going to make it. You got to have Christ in your life.
Amen. You know, that kind of leads to, and we have Alfred Anderson, former Minnesota Viking great, who was gracious enough to stand in for Byron Williams, who's actually on a flight right now. And, you know, part of what, you know, the connection with me and Alfred and the whole NFLPA, is where we won't reveal everything, Alfred, but we're really launching this whole element around faith and football in the next few weeks. And it's very, very exciting in order to do that. But I think it hits right home to what you just shared with those without the foundation. You got to find that common ground, like football, in order to use that in order to share the word or share the gospel or just share a different way. Give some options, some choices at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How important is that?
That's important, and that's when God giving you the opportunity to step out on faith to give your testimony. You know, to go talk to kids. And, you know, a lot of times we go to the public schools, you know, teachers and stuff can't, but we as athletes can mention God in the school, because we don't have, you know, we're not hooked up to the schools. So we can slip that in, you know, and that's the good thing about having that opportunity. Kids look up to us anyway. So
sure.
That's our opportunity to reach out to those kids and let them know that, that put God first. And whatever you do, put God first.
Yep, and that'll help them while they're in the wilderness. You know, with the last couple minutes we have with you, is there something that I should have asked and I didn't, or just something on your heart you want to share with our friends who are listening?
I know I pretty covered everything, but like I said, my truth is Jesus Christ, and I know without Him, I wouldn't be where I am today. And like I said, 12 years old, that's when I found Christ. When he reopened my eye, because I knew I was blind for the rest of my life. But He used it. He saw that I was very deserving for something that He had in store for me. And a lot of times we don't know what God has in store for us. But long as you sit still and listen and not run away, but listen, and He will direct your path. He will show you. And that's
Amen.
What He has done for me. And you know, raising two kids, raising three now, but my first two oldest sons, you know, they're so awesome, man. And I never had no problem with them whatsoever, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, you know, the fruit don't fall far from the tree as long as you bring your kids up right. And being in the school system, you know, I see that. I see first graders, kindergarten, with the attitude of juvenile kids, just the way they act, just the way they talk, don't want to listen. And it breaks my heart because the parents do not teach them. They're not teaching the kids. They're not disciplining the kids. They're letting the kids do whatever they want, talk however they want, talk to them however they want. And that needs to stop. You know, that really needs to stop. And we need to raise our kids and not be their friends, but be their parents.
Right. By bringing the word to them at the end of the day, right?
Absolutely. Bringing the word. Absolutely.
And so, hey, well, we thank you, Alfred, for short notice jumping in and hopefully be able to bring you back at some point soon. I'm sure we'll shake hands and share coffee over the next few weeks as we continue to roll out our program in partnership with the NFLPA. Very, very excited about this. Very excited.
Yeah, sounds good, Eric. I would love to do that, brother, and love to be back on your show, man, and I look forward to meeting you as well in person.
Absolutely, absolutely. So friends, that's Alfred Anderson, great Minnesota Vikings, played eight seasons, who's very versatile in so many different ways, has a great testimony, and you know, one of those that you would love to hear about, things you don't hear about too often, especially when you become professional athletes, and awesome. We thank you for having him tonight. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll continue our dialogue with a few comments, and so stay with us. Feel free to give us a call at 310-861-2331, and I would love to hear from you. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
Lead them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue for His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
Oh, is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, to help you lead where you are by getting on cue with God's will and his purpose. Today's question of the day was NFL draft. When the call comes, we have our special guest, Alfred Anderson, who played 8 seasons with the Minnesota Vikings and was drafted in 1984. He played fullback, scored about 27 touchdowns, and threw two touchdown passes because he's pretty versatile. He's also a member of the NFL's Players Association here in Dallas for former players. And Alfred gave us a great testimony of him being blind and now he can see, and what the Lord called him so many years ago. You know, and when the call comes, really, what do you do? You know, as we always do, we like telling stories, use someone's testimony as effort in order to encourage others, and play on words, and especially today. We started the show with honoring our mothers. Why? Simply because Ephesians tells us that it's right. And if we do things that are right, we honor God in doing so. All of us who've ever picked up a football, who have dreamed at some point having the name call, even playing on Sunday, although you or I did not get a chance to get a call by the commissioner, called by the commissioner to the podium, we all get a call from our heavenly commissioner, God the Father. The word shares in Matthew 22:14, for many are called, but few are chosen. So notice that when we place the, and as our guest, Alfred was called at 12 years old, but he chose to follow the Lord. So notice that we place the periods after at the letters N, F, and L. For the N, when the Lord calls your name in his draft, you don't need stats. You don't need to have gone to college. You don't need a fast 40. But you do need an agent. You need an agent. It's God the Son, Jesus Christ. Just do what? The F. Just follow him. Follow him. That's all you need to do. And so take up your cross. Follow him. And just as our current series shares, just style to praise, no matter what the situation is. And the Lord can then equip you with God the Holy Spirit in order for you to do what? The L, lead others in that calling. So NFL, Lord, call your name. F, you follow him. And then L, you lead him. Leading and playing your part in advancing the kingdom. You may be you may not be financially rich. You may be poor, but you may just be getting by by paying your bills. But God will give you everything you need to accomplish that calling. He'll equip you, no matter what. You just start and lead where you are. More importantly, you don't have to wait for his call. Go to him, ask him, What Lord, what is there for me? It reminds me of some old songs when I was in Sunday school. Lord, at the end of Sunday school, we always sing, pass me, Lord. Pass me not, O Lord, O gentle Savior. Do hear my humble cry, asking not to pass me over. And I heard a song early this week, and you all probably know it, Don't Do Without Me, Lord, by Bishop Paul Morton. It is exactly, just go to him. Don't do without me, Lord. Don't have to wait for his call. But when we start with that, when we start with love and surrender to him, we can get on cue. We can get on cue with God's will, on cue with his calling on our lives, and our purpose, which is our purpose, and get others on cue with that purpose. So NFL, our Lord's calling our name, choose to follow, and so you can lead others into whatever the mission he has for us. So that's it for our show tonight. Before I go off, I would like to give thanks. Thank all of you for coming in. Like us on Facebook and On Cue Radio. Put us on your prayer list. Invite a friend to listen to the show and to next week. And if you get a chance to listen to it all, you can always go back and play. Come from our website at QLeadership.com or .org. Consider Q Leadership your ministry and training for your church. Keep us on your prayer list as we continue to launch this partnership with NFLPA, which is very, very exciting. We'll hear more about that in the coming weeks. I'd like to give honor and praise to the Master, to the Great Commission, to the agent, our own agent, Christ our Savior. And thanks for those who tune in, my special guests, Alfred Anderson, as well as Byron Williams, for making this happen in his stead. And I pray that he lands safely tonight. My producer, assistant, who turned 16 yesterday, happy birthday, Kennedy. And my better half, my wife, happy Mother's Day. And happy Mother's Day twice for giving two great
great girls. And my youngest, Carson, Princess Carson, my family and friends, brothers and sisters, mom, mother-in-law, everyone who's a mother, happy Mother's Day, our friends and family on Facebook. I dedicate this show to the mothers on this particular day because we have to honor them so our days may be long. So if you'd like to be a sponsor, please email me at onq@qleadership.com. This has been On Q. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Until next week.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue for His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue. Let us help you get on cue.